Tommy and Ben Sandsman. Of course, we told you about the gig in the Lyric coming up with the Sands family. So here's just a wee taster.
Tire, riddle, dumb, tire, riddle, is there anybody coming to the bridge of Mayo? I was walking in the sunshine, choking for the drink, when I saw a woman coming in the cardigan of pink. You lit up our lives with your smile and your song, bringing joy so much more than you'll know. In the corner of a cafe with a coffee killing time, and a second-hand newspaper someone had left behind, perusing some old story that had bored me twice before.
In my mother's house there was music all night long. There was music in my mother's house, and my heart still sings a song.
Special guests, Tommy and Ben, are with us. How you doing, lads?
Great, Johnny. Good.
Brilliant to have you in. Brilliant.
It's great to be here. Good to see you.
Listen, you've sort of carried a big responsibility over the last lot of decades, you know, sort of flag bearers for Irish folk and traditional.
We've been at it a long time now.
Yeah.
Short trousers time, I think.
Yes, we're getting the hang of it at last.
No, seriously, when was the first time you all started playing, I mean, in public? I suppose you played around the house and all, didn't you?
We did.
When you were no
age.
The
first record we made is in 1968.
You're joking me?
That's right.
I'm afraid so.
That's...
And
we were very young when we were born.
But that's extraordinary.
That's right. So we've been really travelling a lot since that, here and there, all over the place.
Yeah. As I say, for anybody with an interest in folk or traditional, you've been the name that gets, you know, bandied about as flying the flag and being great ambassadors for folk music. Did you ever think, I mean, it's healthy enough now. Is that fair enough to say, the scene?
Oh,
but,
it is.
But would there have been a time when you maybe feared that popularity was really on the wane, that all the musicians coming through, the youngsters, were embracing, you know, maybe rock music or the pop music of the day or whatever, you know?
I think there is, there would be a fad from time to time, so it would rise in popularity and go down in popularity. Our old Francis McPeak used to say that it goes up to a pop place every 25 years or so.
Yeah.
But in between, it's pretty balanced, and in fact, at the Flagpole now in Derry, there'd be hundreds and thousands of musicians there, youngsters playing music, the music of the place, you know, where we live.
Yeah.
So it's in a very strong position. I suppose we write songs as well. We kind of add to it to some degree by writing songs about what's going on and that sort of thing at the present time.
I was quite heartened. I was comparing a talent competition. It was one of these X Factor type things in the Slave Donard a couple of years ago. And at every heat, there were a bunch of kids, you know, pipes, borons and all kinds of things. So it was quite, you know, refreshing to see that all these, you know, they weren't all. There was electric guitarists, there was, you know, pop singers and all, but at least one act, maybe two in each heat, was still doing the traditional stuff, you know?
Yes, I think it has never been as strong as it is at the present time, Johnny. A lot of participants in the music, a lot of people playing it as opposed to sitting back and listening to it, you know, which of course causes problems in some sense, that it's difficult to find audiences. So nearly everyone can play something. No, so listen, very often you have to leave the country.
There's still a session happens in the Duke on a Thursday night, and from what I hear, 90% of the audience or the crowd in there are participants.
Yeah. That's it, you know? Which is great. It's
but
great
that's the beauty of a session. You can sit in and join in, and that's it, you know, and you're away.
That's right.
The music is certainly in very good hands at the minute. It's here to stay.
And
I
it's
think.
Very embracing, you know. Let the circle be wide round the fireside, and we'll soon make room for you. Let your heart have no fear, for there's no strangers here, just friends that you never knew.
Brilliant.
And
brilliant.
It's that sort of a feeling in most of the sessions. And it doesn't matter how well you can play or not, you know, I think generally you'd always be very welcomed.
Yeah, that's the sort of the impression that comes across, you know. You mightn't be the greatest fiddle player in the world, but come on, show us what you have and, you know, join in. And nobody's going to judge you here, you know.
That's right.
That's right. And that's a tradition that goes back for years. And I'm sure in your own family, Johnny, back the years, you know, maybe sitting around, everybody would do something to pass the time, you know, to shorten the winter a bit.
Yeah.
Be it a yarn or a story or something.
No, even in our house, although we were all clowns, we'd have, you know, you'd have put on a wee show where you'd have done something, but you know, as you said, was it the same in your house? Were you 2 years of age when someone put a guitar in your hand, or what happened?
It was very much a part of growing up, Johnny. People came, especially in the wintertime. We grew up on a small farm. We had no electricity, no TV, no radio a lot of the time. So especially in the long winter nights, we made our own entertainment. Our father was a bit of a storyteller. He played the fiddle. Our mother played the accordion. And the neighbours and friends would come in the evening, and we'd just sit round the fire telling yarns and singing. And somebody usually did something. Everyone had to do something, generally.
See, for kids listening, that's going to sound terribly old-fashioned. But, I mean, to me, it sounds great.
Amazingly, it's going back in some areas to that sort of entertainment where you choose sort of who you can listen to, or who you want to listen to, or who you want to listen to you. Whereas if you go into a pub or some restaurants, you can't even hear your ears to order a meal.
Exactly. I was down, and it's about 10 years ago now. I went down with some friends, and we were visiting friends who lived in Westmeath, you know, and they lived in, it was wilds of nowhere. Mm. And it was I was going to say the nearest town, it was like a crossroads. And there was a shop that doubled as the supermarket, post office, undertakers. I think it was an undertaker's as well.
Yeah.
And the pub was out the back. Now, the pub was only the size of this studio.
Yes.
So on a Saturday night, there might have been 40 people sitting around the walls in a square. Mm-hmm. And what happened? This was Saturday night. So we were strangers in town. And the guy just came and says, put your name on the list. He says, what for? Oh, no, you're just, what's your name? I told him, he says, your name's on the list. And what they had this massive book. It was like a big, like the Book of Kells getting passed around the room. Yeah. And it had the lyrics of all kinds of songs, stories, jokes. So if you couldn't sing, you had to pick a story to read and tell it in your way. The book got passed around the room. And no, it's coming near me, it's coming near me, you know. So then they were just saying, well, what do you know? It was David Bowie or something. That's the only kind of songs that I know, to my shame. And a fella got a guitar out, and he says, is this it? I says, aye. So then I had to sing my song, and the fella next to me was a fella from Newcastle across the water, and he sang an old Geordie thing, you know, Blading Races or something. That was the art of this, just kept going. And they actually ended up doing a couple of laps of this room. So by the time the night was over, there was 80 jokes or yarns or songs done. And then, of course, the pub was still open at 4 a.m. and people were falling up.
But you covered a lot of ground.
But to me, it was brilliant. Yeah. And if you didn't know a story or weren't confident of a story, what were you going to tell the story about the ghost in the monastery? We have it here. Have a wee read of it. Refresh your memory. And this book must have taken decades to put together.
It was
all bits of paper pasted in, and you know, and cuttings, and
sounds
super
good.
I think that sense of taking part is very important too, because sometimes people sit watching television on their own and they think that the whole world is in that television, maybe cars turning upside down or people shooting each other, whereas if people get the opportunity of actually meeting other people and swapping yarns and stories and songs, I think it's their humanity comes out much more and more easily than just watching a television set or something.
Again, the social aspect of the pub scenario, it really struck me, because then once you'd done your bit, that was the ice broken and everybody was talking away to everybody else. And it was just smashing. But to me, when people ask about the strangest performance I've ever given, I would sort of call that one up, you know. But yourselves, you've played all over the world.
I was just thinking there, we were playing over there at a birthday party of Pete Seeger in Madison Square Garden a few years ago. He's 90.
You're a name dropper, Pete Seeger, Madison Square Gardens in the same sentence. Ben, he's nothing to learn.
I know. Indeed, but I was just thinking, Johnny, about the importance of the music from here in a way. I'm going to drop in all a couple of names now, but it's part of the reality. This guy Tom Robbins, or Tim Robbins, I think he's an actor. He was the MC.
He plays over here now and again. You know, he's a fair guitarist.
Ah,
he loves the blues. You see,
yes,
and he's done a few in the Black Box.
Is that right, Tim Robbins? Right, I didn't know.
He got up one night to play with Rob McCulloch and them, and you know, and then said, "I'd like to come back," and they thought he was just old blether. No, he came back about a month later and did a gig.
Very
You know,
his father was Jill Robbins, who played with the Highwaymen. And remember, Michael rowed the boat ashore away years ago.
No? Yes,
so they were part of that whole Greenwich Village thing. The father was, but he was MC anyway. And I says, "When are we on?" I was a bit nervous. He says, "Took a look at this." He says, "I guess you're on just after Kris Kristofferson and just before Bruce Springsteen. No pressure." And there wasn't any pressure because everybody left their egos at the door like overcoats on a warm summer's evening, you know. Yeah. But this music, this very simple music from here, it's very highly regarded by people who have gone over all those, run those circles. Because I think there's something, there's an honesty and a reality and a warmth and a humanity about it. It's good crack.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's the communication. There's something in those songs and all for everybody, you know.
Yes.
It's great. Of course, you're a great storyteller as well, you know.
Well, I suppose that is one of the things we grew up with in the house. Was, everybody had a story to tell.
We were, pretty much surrounded by storytellers, and you had to get your speak in at some stage as best you could.
Because if you didn't say anything, you wouldn't be asked to repeat it too often.
Yeah, but there's a gift in being able to relay a yarn and keep people listening, you know, keep people hanging on your every word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a gift you have as well, you know.
I think that's very much part of where we live, isn't it? Like, you're no bad when yourself. You know, the people around here have got that way of telling a story and knowing how to spin it out, you know. Like, I mean, Shakespeare, he did that. He would give a wee clue at the beginning. There's something rotten in the state of Denmark. You wouldn't know what it was, but you'd be less coming closer to hear what's going to happen next, you know. What did they call the fellow that made the films and scared people? What is his name, Ben? Hitchcock.
Yes.
Wow.
He used to... he hadn't much hair right enough towards the end. That's right.
Not a beginner now, that's
But he distinguished between fear and suspense on the screen. You know, he said fear was very easy to create on the screen. The hero was about to be attacked. The hero knew it and the audience knew it. Suspense was when the hero was about to be attacked, the audience knew it, but the hero didn't know it.
Yeah.
So it's all that twisting and turning of words to create the story and to create excitement.
So when you do the live gig, then is this the storytelling just as important as the instrumentation and the songs?
It's a pretty big part of it, Johnny.
Yeah,
the stories are getting longer
when these
songs
guys start introducing their songs.
But yeah,
they have become a very important part of it and a dramatic part of it in a way, and that's why the theatre and places like the Lyric are very well suited to what we do. The stories and the songs, and we set up the songs with stories. And there's a fair bit of drama and a lot of fun as well in the show.
But I love that because, I mean, I've been to see you before. And what I love, there's certain songs you've maybe heard 100 times. And then you hear the story about how it was written or why you're performing it. And then, and it's a whole new light, whole new life breathed into certain songs and pieces, you know.
That's right. It puts it in a context and a perspective.
It's great. I love that. So yourselves, the whole family, you're going to be Saturday, 17th of August in the Lyric then?
That's right.
I'm looking at my calendar. That's this Saturday. Nearly in the middle of August already.
Yes.
So, as you say, the Lyric is perfect for what you do.
Yes. I think it'll be a great night.
Big enough to be called a concert, but it's still nice and intimate as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
and you can still see the whites of their eyes, Tommy.
That's what you want, yeah.
That's what I like.
Hamish Imlach used to say he didn't mind the people walking out just when they started moving towards him that he got worried.
Listen, give us a song before you go.
This is a song, it's a song really about people leaving here and always with the hopes of coming back, if not in body and spirit.
I always will remember well the day we went away, sailing out of Belfast in the morning. Our hopes were on tomorrow as we kissed the girls farewell, but our dreams were on the day of our return. And there'll be dancing, romancing, and never more we'll roam. There'll be rowing in the hay, there'll be whiskey in the tay, when the boys come rolling home. We safely reached
the other side at New York City Fair. In spite of wind and rain and stormy weather, we all sat down to drink a glass and wish each other well. And we said that we'd be back again together. And now we dancing, romancing, and never more we'll roam. I'll be rolling in the hay, there'll be whiskey in the tea when the boys come rolling home. I must be over 90 now, my grandson's to the bed, and here I'm in Chicago and still scheming. He says he'll take me back again to rest my weary head, and I'll leave him a legacy of dreaming. And there'll be dancing, romancing, and never more we'll roam. I'll be rolling in the hay, there'll be whiskey in the tay, when the boys come a-roaming
home. Brilliant. That, I just felt informed getting up to the bar and getting a couple of pints there. You know? Listen, brilliant, lads. Thank you very much, Tommy and Ben. And you're in the Lyric this Saturday. Okay.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.